just got dyslexia, okay?
Dishonor on you! Dishonor on your cow!
Welcome, foolish mortals.
It is with deepest pride and greatest pleasure that we welcome you tonight.
The reference here is very obscure.
Welcome to the obscure world of Disney. You're listening to the Obscure Disney Podcast.
It's our belief that no detail is too small, no character cameo too short, and no quirk too strange to be celebrated.
And with new episodes every Tuesday and Thursday, why not get an annual pass wherever you get your podcast from, or find us at obscuredisneypodcast.com.
And see all of our fun patches at disneypatch.com. Please keep your hands and arms inside the vehicle until it's come to a complete stop. Then exit to your right through the gift shop.
Through the gift shop. Well, you must be taking me to a Disney gift shop.
Where else would we be going when we get off an attraction than through a Disney gift shop?
Whether you like it or not, folks.
You're going to see some stuff, and your kids are going to scream because they don't have it.
That's completely right.
That's what it's for,
they
right?
They do tend to put a whole lot of gift shops at the end of these rides, we've noticed. Everybody's noticed.
Yeah, I would say it's probably about 50-50. I looked into it a little bit, and there are quite a few of the newer rides that at Disney that do not exit through the gift shop.
Oh, thank goodness.
Actually. So they might be getting away from that concept, which I am in favor of.
Absolutely.
And it's not just because I don't like the capitalism of going through a gift shop to get out of a ride. It's because of the logistics of people coming out and people going in and people standing around in a basically on a freeway.
Right.
You know, you have so many people trying to get through that space that the idea of milling around and shopping in the middle of a freeway is just ludicrous.
Yeah. Yeah, it's very, very true. There's a couple of gift shops I really enjoy exiting through. Tower of Terror is the one.
The one.
I really like the Tower of Terror gift shop going through there.
It's a little more calm, though, than other places.
And it seems bigger. A lot bigger than some of the other ones.
Yeah, it's not quite as cluttery.
Right. But we were noticing we got off, like, I think it was Star Tours, and that one, how awful the clutter that when you come down the runway, you immediately just run into a group full of people at the bottom, and you're like, I don't even know how to get off this ride right now.
Well, and that's the thing, is it's in both parks. I don't know what they thought, why they thought that the Star Wars fans would not search out a gift shop.
Yeah.
To buy Star Wars stuff in, but they made sure that there was a Star Wars gift shop at the end of every Star Tours that they've built.
That's a really good point.
And it's all a terrible idea, because there are a lot of people just kind of standing there looking at things. They have like a lightsaber building station. They have all these things that require you to kind of stand when you have hundreds of people trying to get off the attraction, and then heaven forbid you want to walk into that store from the outside, because it's like swimming upstream. Like, there's no way to get into that store safely. True. You're gonna get run over.
You have to go on the ride first, apparently. And you're talking about Star Tours specifically, not the new ones that they put in Galaxy's
Edge. I have not been to Galaxy's Edge yet, so I'm not 100% sure
what those are like.
But I did do some fun research on Galaxy's Edge, which we will get to.
I can imagine.
But I was looking up just general discussion about buying souvenirs at Disney. And there was a kind of an informal poll taken where the majority of people admitted to spending $50 to $100 a person per trip.
Oh, really?
To a Disney park.
Yeah.
So if you think about that, for you and I, it kind of checks out. If, you know,
the most frugal of Disney folks.
Right. Like, you almost can't get out of the park without spending at least $50. You know, like, even if you're going to buy. Yeah. Just, it falls out of your pockets, apparently. You buy, like, drinks. You buy snacks. You're already at least $25 to $30 if you're buying drinks and snacks while you're at the park.
Yeah, pin trading, those are about $15 a piece or so.
Right.
So, yeah, if you buy two of those a trip, you're pretty close to $30 without even trying.
And then I buy, you know, I don't buy them often, but I buy my keys, and those run around $35.
Yeah.
So
those are awesome, though. They're...
And I love
them.
That's
what Disney loves.
Yeah. They make cool things, and they make you want to buy them. That's how it works, right?
Yeah. This is cool stuff.
Yeah.
A lot of it's cool. It's
not. So, there are a few. So, Star Tours, obviously.
Uh-huh.
Exit through the gift shop. Tower of Terror.
Oh, I love that one.
You exit through the gift shop.
Tower of Terror is my favorite gift shop.
Here's where
his favorite ride. Favorite gift shop.
There you go. Here's where they vary a little bit. In Florida, you exit Pirates through a gift shop. It's like a big shopping
officially.
Area with like skylights and stuff. I'm not really sure how it got that treatment, but
they shorten the ride by 50% and give it a gift shop. That's unfair.
Ooh, shady. Right? Yeah, the one in California is longer, and you don't exit through a gift shop. So
there is a gift shop off to the left, though, or to the right.
Oh, yeah, there are gift shops around. You enter into you exit out into New Orleans Square, where it's a ton of stores.
True.
You know, Small World famously exits through one of the gift shops.
Kind of, yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, through that pink little one.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
The Florida Space Mountain, you exit through a gift shop. So they definitely have a pattern of pushing your family through these things.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of liken it to just impulse buys at the grocery store.
Yeah.
Where you're standing in line to check out and they have all this junk food and soda and magazines and stuff just right there while you're standing there, where you're like, no, I deserve a Reese's.
Right.
You know, I feel like that's kind of the concept behind having a gift shop right on the exit. Oh, 100%
is. And I think that is why it builds into your psyche, the fact that we do like the keys and the fact that we do like to buy stuff while we're there, is because they do encourage you or force you to do so on other rides.
Mm.
You know what I mean? And so then you're like, oh, you just have to do it when you're at Disney. And then, you know, other theme parks will obviously take on as well. But I was noticing some of the newer rides, though, like Cars Land, when they built all of Cars Land, they didn't do that on any of the rides when they built that area of the park.
Yeah.
And I was starting to wonder and hoping that it no longer works like it used to, and that hopefully that the trends are changing, that you then get to explore out for it and go find it on your own, was my hope.
Well, I would hope so too. Just like I said, for logistical reasons of trying to get out of a ride, you're dealing with crowds at Disney regardless, so the less they can make you work against each other in the crowd, the better, in my opinion. And you're right, there's a lot of the newer rides that don't have
the... Oh, hallelujah.
Like Little Mermaid.
Oh, yeah.
Which would be perfect for them to cram a bunch of thingamabobs in your face. Right. You know, right after the Little Mermaid. But they chose not to for whatever reason, which I appreciate, you know?
Yeah.
If you really like the Little Mermaid, it's very easy to search out her merchandise.
Yeah, it's just right across the walkway, so you don't have to go far.
Yeah.
It's a cute little shop that they have over there for the Little Mermaid.
It is cute, isn't
it? It's really small, though.
It is small.
Yeah.
Oddly enough.
Yeah.
But they have a lot of other of these newer attractions, even, that don't have these stores in them. Like, for instance, the Seven Dwarves Mine Train here in Florida.
Oh, right.
Which is... It's a big deal. It's a big ride. It replaced the Snow White Dark Ride in Florida. And so you would think that it would be the ideal place to stick a bunch of princess merchandise or something.
Yeah.
Right? And they didn't.
Yeah.
Partially because I don't think they had a place for it. But
yeah. Thank goodness.
Yeah.
I'm not complaining.
And then you have other rides where I think it would be inappropriate to walk out through a gift shop. For instance, the Haunted Mansion. You don't want to go through, you know, hurry back, and then walk out into a gift shop full of a bunch of stuff.
Yeah. And the Haunted Mansion is a really good example of that, actually, especially the one in California, where when you walk out, you don't run directly into it, but they have three or four carts out on the walkway right in front of the area that you can go over there and check out this stuff. And then on that one, we do specifically walk over there and walk past the cart, and that is one of the places we buy a lot of stuff at.
I bought stuff I don't need at that cart. I bought two themed card decks, like face card decks.
Oh, you did.
I don't even play cards.
And
but I needed them.
I am the worst card partner too, so that's probably part of it.
Well, you're not helping then.
No, that's very true.
But I bought two sets and I'm like, why? Here's why. One of them was Nightmare Before Christmas, which is fun. And the other one was Glow in the Dark Madame Leota cards.
Yeah.
Which are cool. Why wouldn't you want those? And in the off chance that one day I decide I'm going to pick up Gin Rummy, I will have neat cards to play with.
Uh-huh.
Just so there. I'm justifying my purchases.
There you go. And the other thing that's really nice about that one, too, is that while casual observers are walking by the outside of the cart as well, then they can also stop in pretty easily.
True. Which you don't have to work your way into a store to find that merchandise. Mm-hmm.
But in Florida, those don't work nearly as well because we get the rainstorms and the heat so badly.
Oh,
so,
that's true. Yeah, you don't want all your blankets getting rained on.
Mm-mm. That would be an awful idea.
It would be.
So...
I say that they're moving away from this with new things.
You do say that. And I was hoping for it.
Yeah.
You know, Cars Land, but...
But, so, this is going to be an extremely unpopular opinion, but I am already, having not even been to Galaxy's Edge yet, I'm already slightly irritated with their setup.
Yeah.
Unpopular opinion, I know.
Completely.
Part of the problem...
Don't blame me, you guys.
Yeah. It's not me. It's not Steve, it's all me. part of the problem is that, as of opening, Disneyland's version is now open.
Uh-huh.
Very, very popular.
Uh-huh.
They have one attraction open.
Yes.
One attraction. Mm-hmm. So, this whole land... has one ride for you to get on, which is Smuggler's Run. It's only seat six people at a time kind of thing.
Right.
So it's going to be a wait. And then you think, well, they cleared out an entire section back there.
Yeah,
what else
acres.
Is there? Like, it can't all just be for one ride, and it's not.
No.
Here's a fun list.
Milk.
I'm going to give you a list.
They do serve blue milk there.
They do. Savi's Workshop, Droid Depot, Oga's Cantina, Docking Bay 7, Milk Stand, Ronto Roasters, Cat Seika's Kettle Dock, Anders Den of Antiquities, Black Spire Outfitters, First Order Cargo, Resistance Supply, Creature Stall, the Toydarian Toymaker.
Oh my gosh.
13.
13 places back there?
There are 13 retail locations in Galaxy's Edge.
To be fair, that's only one per acre.
that's why they needed all the space. An acre per store.
Right.
I find this slightly offensive.
Really?
And people love the merchandise. They're excited to get their lightsabers.
Uh-huh.
They're excited to try blue milk.
Right.
Oddly enough.
They're literally selling a $25,000 R2-D2?
Uh-huh.
Right? $25,000 replica.
Well, and the Star Wars fans will purchase expensive things. Oh. They like nice things
that are
part of their fandom.
Listen, that $35,000 crystal castle that they have near the front of the park, if I had $35,000 to
spend... You would not be purchasing that.
Talk about a horrible real estate investment.
What's the resale on that?
Like when you buy your keys and they tell you, now that you've paid for this, we got to tell you.
It doesn't unlock a single thing.
Not a single thing.
No, but isn't this slightly offensive to people that...
13 shopping
there
experiences.
There are 13 places for them to take your money back there, but only one attraction for you to actually ride.
Yeah.
I find that a little heavy-handed with the stores.
Right, and they are obviously adding the second one.
They will, yeah, the second attraction will open, but still, 2 to 13?
Yeah,
that's
those
a
are
lot
odds.
Of space that's taken up by people trying to take your money.
Mm-hmm.
And you've already paid the money to get into the park in general.
Right.
So the idea that they're then charging you, they're then committing so much of this new area that so many people are so excited about to just stores is a little sad to me.
Yeah, I would agree. For sure. And it was exciting for me when I started realizing that there were a lot of the new rides were not exiting through the gift shop anymore for some reason.
Uh-huh.
I thought that was a much better setup. I like the fact of, and you talked about this, you talked about how great it is to be able to go and explore the land more thoroughly and then come across the items that you might want to buy.
Oh, for sure.
As opposed to being, you know, like, here is another, you know, thing.
Well, I think it's kind of the explorer and the Black Friday shopper in all of us that we want to find the deals.
Uh-huh.
We want to find the cool things.
Cool things is more like it. Yeah. Yeah, like your playing cards.
Right. And so instead of literally walking into a store without a choice and seeing neat things, a lot of people like the idea of being like, you know what, I went down this alleyway and there was a store down there that was selling these really cool hats and I had to buy one.
Mm-hmm.
That's a cooler story than I got it in the gift shop at the end of Pirates, you know? It's like, okay. Or it could be what Disney is for, is having those magical experiences. Mm-hmm. And I feel like some of that is the discovery of, oh, I love this item, I really want this specifically.
Right.
You know?
And it is fun that we were talking about, like, that they should have park exclusive items. And I think they've started doing it a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
And they've, like, their pins, they obviously have a whole series of pins that are on white cards.
Yeah.
That are park exclusives items that you have to go find only at the parks there.
Right.
And it would be fun if they did more of that, we talked about. But they did that when they were, like, for Pandora, they had those lamps that were made specifically
right
for Pandora, and then you look at it and you're like, well, that's a choice.
Choices. No, and
these lamps.
And to be fair, you know, you can't guarantee that this is going to be popular or that's going to be popular, and mm-hmm. things will end up in the character warehouse, kind of the retail outlets, if they don't sell very well. It's totally possible, you know. However, I think walking into a store and finding stuff that literally was made for the parks and you can't get anywhere else
mm-hmm.
would be a much more interesting shopping experience.
Mm-hmm.
Even if it was just like a section of each store or, you know, a specific item for each thing, because people like that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Just recently, we celebrated Donald Duck's 80th birthday, I believe. 85th. 85th oh, he birthday.
Looks great for his age.
Looks wonderful. Feathers cover up all kinds of wrinkles.
I need some feathers.
Yeah. And as part of the celebration, they had 100, I believe, keys made
yeah.
that were given out to the first 100 people in line at a Disney store on Donald's birthday. And people lose their mind for them. Yeah. I mean, I love a good key too.
Right.
And trust me, if I had been able to plan my way around it, I probably would have tried to get one too. But people love that kind of stuff. The exclusive, mm-hmm. the limited edition, the park exclusive. That's a big deal to people.
Right.
And it shows, it's something that is a special memory from going to the park that day versus, uh-huh. well, I got this thing, I got this that I can get at the Disney store or I can get at Walmart or I can get anywhere else. You have a specific item that says, that you say, I can only get this at the Magic Kingdom, and it reminds me of that day we spent at the Magic Kingdom.
Yeah, we worked really hard to try to find something that was specific to the Mine Train ride this yeah. last trip that we went on, because that was an experience, y'all. In the yeah. rain, just saying. And we looked everywhere for it, and the only thing we could find was, I think, Grumpy? We found yeah, Grumpy on some things. Grumpy
has a lot of merchandise. Where are all the happy pins? Like,
seriously, right?
No. There are 7 of them. Why are we stuck with Grumpy exclusively? So, do we have time to tell the Mine Train story?
No, we can talk about it on another one, maybe. No, you can tell now.
I'm telling the story.
Okay.
So, Seven Dwarfs Mine Train, extremely difficult ride to get fast passes for because everyone wants to ride it.
Mm-hmm.
It's a newer ride at Magic Kingdom here in Florida. I hadn't ridden it. Steve hadn't ridden it, and we can't get fast passes because they get swiped up real quick. We managed to be with a group of people that had the ability to get us onto the ride with fast passes.
Yes.
And we were all like, yeah, yeah, I would love to get on this ride. Absolutely. Now, up to this point, it had been 97 degrees.
All day long.
Bright sun beating down on you.
And 97% humidity.
Yeah. The second we get in line to get into Seven Dwarfs Mine Train, it starts raining. And we're all like, oh, rain, nice. They obviously aren't going to be running Seven Dwarfs Mine Train in the rain because it runs outside for 90% of the ride, right? So we get in, and the second we step into the actual show building to get on the ride, the bottom falls out.
Right.
And it is just dumping buckets of rain, as it only does in Florida. It just is drenching everything.
Uh-huh.
And we again think, surely they will be stopping this ride for the duration of this rainstorm.
Right.
And the people said, do not call me Shirley, and we're not stopping this train. So we step up, and they literally load Shirley. Us into this train, and we can look out the door we're about to go out of, and it's just a sheet of rain. And they're checking our safety belts, going, good luck, good
yeah,
luck.
This is when you know you got troubles, y'all, is when the cast members are like, okay, good luck.
Have fun? Question mark? And then it shoots you out of the loading dock and into the Little Mermaid. We were under the sea, pretty much, for the entirety of that ride. Just drenched instantly. I can't see anything because my glasses are soaking wet.
Uh-huh.
We're just screaming. It's an experience unlike any other that I've ever had on a roller coaster.
It was the best.
It was hysterical. It was fun. It was a once in a lifetime, hopefully, type situation. And we got off and we were just looking at each other like, what just happened? That was insanity. And we did. We looked for merchandise to commemorate our ride on the Seven Dwarves Mine Train, and there was none.
Yeah.
How was there none?
Talk about a place we did want a gift shop. Let's
right?
just hang out in the gift shop until the rain clears.
Yeah, exactly. So, Disney, get on it.
No, it's okay. No, it's all right. We'll go find it.
We don't need any more. But it's like I always say, it's not a real Disney trip until you regret how much money you spend on the souvenirs when you get home. Follow my perfectly sculpted two-finger point to the exit.
If you enjoyed today's podcast, rate, review us on your favorite podcast app. And if you didn't, help us do better by buying a patch at DisneyPatch.com.
Always be proud of what makes you unique. And we'll see you next time on the Obscure Disney Podcast.